Does it change your character? Does it change the look on your face? Does it change the way you respond to people? The way you respond to yourself? The way you respond to your spouse, your kids? Or whoever it may be that you're in contact with every day? Does it make a difference? One of my favorite books over the years, it's a little book, it's really small. I like the little ones, especially if they have big type, you know, they don't, the real tiny type. When I read Jonathan Edwards, it takes me forever because he has these big, thick books with no pictures and really tiny type. But Brother Lawrence was his name. His real name was Nicholas Herman, but he liked people to call him Brother Lawrence. Wrote a book. Actually, he didn't write a book. Actually, it was after he died that a lot of the things that he said, the conversations that he had, were discovered and they were pulled together. And they were pulled together into a volume called The Practice of the Presence of God. Just a series of conversations and reflections that this monk had during his lifetime. Now, he lived a very, very humble life. He lived in 17th century France. He was a soldier in the 30 Years' War. He was a cook and a butler. And finally, actually quite late in life, he entered a monastery. And as a monk in the monastery, he never got off the bottom rung of the ladder. He never got a single promotion in his entire life. He wasn't in charge of anything. He was just a kitchen worker, and he made sandals for the other brothers in the monastery. Because of his work responsibilities at the monastery, he wasn't always able to participate in the long hours of prayer that the other monks engaged in. While the other monks were contemplating and chanting and praying and reading and meditating, Brother Lawrence was getting dinner ready. Okay? Even though he was a lowly man, to say the least, he developed something of a reputation just because of who he was. As a man who knew the peace of God, that in the humble things that he did and the way that he lived his life, the way he walked down the hallway, the way he reacted to people, the kinds of things he did, people came to understand him as someone who knew the peace of God and who lived in the presence of God. And many of the brothers who were obviously, you know, had been promoted up the ladder, and Brother Lawrence had never gotten any kind of promotion, they would come to Brother Lawrence for wisdom and counsel. Well, after his death, and he never left the monastery, after his death, several manuscripts were uncovered, a collection of conversations and letters he had recorded during his life, and they were put together into this little booklet called The Practice of the Presence of God. If you ever see it, buy it, get it, use it, read it. It's a good read. It's worth every minute you put into it. It's simple. It's nothing complex. It's not a book of systematic theology. It is the book of someone who lives, not only lives in the presence of God, but acknowledged God's presence with him every single day, who always looked at life and understood life as if God were there with him and made an impact on what he should say and do and how he should act. As you can imagine, this, again, a very simple, humble man whose two jobs were making meals and cleaning up after meals and making sandals. And that's as far as he got. But to this very day, he makes a deep impact on many people's lives. John Wesley said that this book had a powerful impact on him. A.W. Tozer, read it and said this book probably had more impact than any other book other than, of course, Scripture on his life. Even Bill Hybels, he read it and talked about how powerful it was. When Bill Hybels was a youth pastor, he used it with his youth group. And he had his every youth group that he pastored as a youth pastor to had them read this book and go through and discuss it and talk about the kinds of things that they read in practicing the presence of God. Now, this book is at the same time incredibly simple and incredibly difficult. Practicing the presence of God is the same way. It's like prayer. You know, prayer is simple. Anyone can do it, right? Even a child. But those who are committed to living a prayer lifestyle have learned that prayer is quite a challenge. To really grow deep into a life of prayer requires discipline and determination and faith and purity and perseverance. Now, anyone who wants to pray can pray. God will hear your prayers. But to get into, deep into a life of prayer, that comes with a price. And so it is with living in the presence of God. If you want to be in God's presence, you can enter God's presence at any time. Jesus paved the way on the cross. He opened the door of access into God's presence. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that Isaiah told us that the coming Messiah will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Jesus Christ, God is with us. He's here all the time. He's always available. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God's open door policy applies to you. You can come into his presence anytime you want, day or night. That's why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore draw near with boldness into the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need." Now, I'd like to take some time over the next several weeks talking about how we can connect with God. I think we all take for granted that we can always come to God and tell him things and he'll listen. The deeper question, though, is how can we really connect with God? The starting point, I believe, is learning to practice what Brother Lawrence speaks about in his book. There's a difference between just living aware that God is with you. You know, going into the presence of God is no trick. You know why? Because you are always in the presence of God. You cannot escape the presence of God. That's no trick. The difference is how you respond to his presence. How is it that you acknowledge the presence of God? How can you develop the practice of acknowledging God's presence with you every moment of the day? Will that make a difference in the way you think and act and move and see and respond and talk and breathe and eat and walk, whatever it may be? Yes, it would. Because the more that you acknowledge his presence, the more impact it has on the way you live. Practicing the presence of God all day long really means acknowledging his presence. You're already in his presence. There's no place you can go where you're not in his presence. He's always with you. But practicing his presence begins with acknowledging that he's here, that he's sitting right next to you right now, that he's hearing every breath you breathe. He knows every thought flowing through the deepest parts of your heart. He knows every intent, every notion, everything. I remember when I first became a senior pastor. It was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And the first series of messages I spoke was on the names of God. In the Old Testament, God is called by the name Jehovah or Yahweh, and his name is often spoken in connection with another name. For instance, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. I began to study the name Jehovah Shammah, and that means the Lord is present. And as I began to think about his name, I had one of those aha moments. I realized the Lord is present means that he's here right now. Right now. When I speak to him, my words don't have to travel through the ceiling and the attic and the insulation and the roof and through the air and the atmosphere and the ozone layer and into outer space and through the floor of heaven where they eventually find their way to his ears. I always wondered how that could happen as I grew up. You know how sometimes you pray and you think your words are all bouncing off the ceiling and coming right back at you? It really hit home to me one day that my words, what I pray, what I say, doesn't have to go through the ceiling because God is right there. He's right there. And he hears every word that I say, every feeling as I say it, every thought, every beat of my heart. Now, this was a meaningful time for me because at the time I was feeling pretty much alone and abandoned, and I was feeling forgotten. I was feeling like my prayers weren't reaching heaven, and suddenly I realized that in this sense my prayers don't have to reach heaven because the God of heaven has come to me to listen. In the years since, I can't tell you how many thousands of times I've been reminded of this simple truth. The Lord is present. He's with me. When I'm in my office studying, working, preparing a message, God is present. He's with me. When I'm spending time with Jelaine and my kids and my grandson, he's with me. When the ministry seems too much for me to handle, God is with me. When I have a cause for celebration, God is with me. When I'm surrounded by the laughter of people I love, God is with me. When I'm sick, God is with me. When I feel lonely, God is with me. When I'm broke, God is with me. And through these times, I have learned the truth of David's words from the 23rd Psalm, where he said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nor evil, for you are with me." That's the big idea I'm wanting to convey to you today. Living in the presence of God begins with acknowledging his presence all day, every day. There's no place you have to go spiritually in order to be in the presence of God because he is already with you. The key is acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. A lady was telling me recently about conflict that is going on in her family. She told me how aunts and uncles were mad at each other and some weren't speaking to one another. And she said, if my mom tries to speak to my aunt will pretend she didn't even hear. She won't even acknowledge a hello. She just ignores her. You know what? At times, I'm guilty of doing that same thing with God. He's here. But I don't acknowledge it. He's in the room with me. but I pretend I'm alone. Pastor friend told me recently, he said, it's been days since I've prayed or have directed even a passing thought in God's direction. I've been so busy with doing the ministry and keeping everything organized that I'm living as if God didn't even exist. Unfortunately, every pastor understands those words. We know how that can happen. And if it can happen to us, it can happen to you too. You can find yourself falling into a pattern where you fail to acknowledge God's presence in your life. And the result is that the longer we do this, the more distant from Him we feel. We get used to it. And our walk becomes more and more empty. Now, the flip side is also true. When you make it a habit to acknowledge God's presence throughout the day, when you make it a habit to talk to Him throughout the day, when you make it a habit to think about Him, you feel His presence more and more and more. Your intimacy with Him grows. You often hear me encourage you to have a daily devotional, a time when you can get alone with God and expose yourself to His Word, and expose yourself to His speaking, you know, stopping and letting Him speak to you. When you can bring your prayer requests to Him and lay them at His feet, this is an incredibly important part of every day in a disciple's life. And I hope all of you are in the process, somewhere in the process, of developing that habit. But just as important is that in addition to a daily devotional, we develop the habit of acknowledging and therefore living in the presence of God throughout the day. Just like it's true that anyone, even the smallest child, can offer prayers to God, knowing that they'll be heard, it's also true that anyone, even the youngest believer, the weakest Christian, the most discouraged disciple, can begin to experience the fullness of the presence of God every single day. In the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter, there's a story about Moses going onto Mount Sinai, spending time in God's presence. This is where he talked personally with God and was given the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. This time, God changed his life, and it changed the way people related to him. Let's take a look. Beginning with verse 29, it's in your outline. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Okay, I've given you a long introduction, but now here are two quick things about this story that I want to point out to you. Spending time in the presence of God day after day will change you. Okay? You will change. And here are some things to understand about that change. Living in God's presence will change you. This will happen simply because His presence has such power, you can't help but change. But there's more. First of all, people around you will see the change before you do. They will be aware that you have changed. even before you are aware of that. The Bible says in verse 29, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Now, it was a long time ago, but I'll never forget one aircraft flight that I was on. It was a commercial airline, and a man came and sat down next to me. And I just remember as I watched him sit down, there was something about him. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just knew he was a believer. There was an instant connection that I could sense. It wasn't because he was wearing a t-shirt with a religious slogan on it, and he wasn't waving around a big Bible or handing out four spiritual laws. There was just something about the way he handled himself. We talked for a while, and I mentioned that God had called me into ministry. And his eyes, when I said that, they just lit up. And he said, "Hey, I'm a believer." And he wanted to know what God was doing in my life. And I said to him, "You know, I kind of guessed that you were a believer." And then he asked me, "Well, how could you tell?" And I said, in my great wisdom, "I don't know. I'm not sure. I just see it in you. There's something about you that made it really clear." Have you ever known someone like that? When you're around, you just feel the presence of God. I know people like that. And I've come to know several of them just because when I come in their presence, I can sense that. And I actually get up the courage to ask them and say something. And almost always, you know, that bears amazing fruit. I've learned that the more time someone spends with God, the more a person becomes like that. You don't have to say anything. But when people are around you, they just know there's something special. There's something real. There's something intense. There's something that matters about you. They can sense the presence of the Spirit of God in you. This man I met on the airplane wasn't an exception. I've known lots of people whose faces were radiant with the joy of the Lord. And when you're around them, it becomes contagious. The more time you spend in the presence of God, you may not see all the ways he's changing you, but I guarantee you, other people around you will see it. They'll see the look in your eyes, the smile, the way you respond to hard circumstances that would really irritate other people, and you just have a peace about you. When things are hard, you respond with even sometimes a joy that has no real explanation, except for the presence of God, the Spirit of God in your life. You won't have to say, "Hey, have you noticed how holy I am these days? Huh? Do you see the glow on my face?" They'll see it first, long before you say anything. They'll notice that your temper has changed, that you've become more patient, that your tongue isn't as sharp as it used to be, that your words are more sincere, that you smile more than you did, that you aren't always on edge, that your attitude is more uplifting and encouraging, and on, people will just see it. They'll know it. Being in the presence of God changes you. You begin to take on the qualities of the Spirit of God. You become like him. And you may not even know it or see it, but others around you will see it. And they'll react. They will respond. People will notice it. Secondly, nothing is hidden in God's presence. Nothing is hidden in God's presence. The Bible says that when Moses was among the people, he wore a veil over his face. And then in verse 34, but whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. Now, there's some symbolism here. Do you know why Moses' time alone with God was so transformational? Why did it change him so much? Because when he was in the presence of God, he took off the veil. Nothing to hide. When we're with each other, we typically cover up some things about ourselves. We put a veil around the tough stuff. We hide a part of ourselves. Boy, I remember that when I was little, we'd go to Sunday school. I'd be scrapping with my sisters. We'd be smacking each other, and boy, it'd be kind of tough. I mean, I had four sisters I had to keep in line. It wasn't easy. But as soon as the car door opened, because we were at church, silence. Now, there were several reasons for that, because we knew people at church saw us. Probably more because we knew my dad saw us. And if there was any hint that we were fighting as we walked out of the car toward the church, we would have a session with my dad right after church that wouldn't be at all pleasant. And we didn't want that. But it was amazing how our demeanor and everything about us instantly changed because we had to look good when we walked into the church. We have this way, don't we? I mean, we don't want people to see us as we really are. I don't want people to know that I've been arguing with Jolaine. I'm really upset. We don't want people to know that, you know, that driver just really ticked me off. And I said some things I really shouldn't say. And I'm mad. We don't want people to see that because I'm a Christian, you know. And especially at church, I want to make sure everybody sees my Christian side. Right? Am I the only one that does that? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, if it's true, as I talked before, that you are in the presence of God right now, are you? Yeah, he's here. He sees you. What are you hiding from God? Or maybe that should be two questions. What do you think, or what would you like to hide from God? Well, I can think of a lot. But what are you hiding from God? Nothing. There is nothing. He knows every thought, every intent. He knows everything you've said and done. He even knows what you're going to say and do. He sees you transparently, and he knows you, and you don't hide anything. God knows you. Now, you know, I think about that, and then I think another thought. He knows me, and he still likes me. Now, that part I don't understand. But he does. He likes you. He knows everything. And he likes you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. You know, go figure. I don't know. When we're in the presence of God, there can be no pretense, no facade, no masks. The veil must come down, and we must be completely open. You know, a lot of times when I pray, and, you know, even when our family gets together, I'm the official prayer because I'm a pastor, right? Nobody else can pray for a meal or when we're doing something when the pastor's there. But, you know, I find myself always praying, telling God how great everything is. I tell him how happy I am, how excited I am about the future, how confident I am that he will provide. And he's probably thinking, Wyden, you're not happy. You know, you're not excited. You're not confident. You're not fooling me. Why don't you just be honest for a change? Maybe that's one reason why I love the book Job so much. You know, it's one of those really honest books. You know Job's story. He was a man who had it all, and then he lost it all. He eventually got it all back, but in the process, he went through a dark season of doubt. And when he was struggling, he prayed some brutally honest prayers. And here I find myself in the midst of those prayers. Okay? That's my confession today. He asked God, "Does it please you to oppress me?" He also said, "Surely, God, you have worn me out. You have devastated my entire household. My spirit is broken and my days are cut short. The grave awaits me." You know, Job didn't pray a kind of King James Sunday school picnic type of prayer. You know, the kind where you pretend everything is just fine. He poured out his heart. It was real. And you can too. Job was completely transparent with God. And you can be too. When you pray, understand this. This is one of those big conundrums of prayer. Understand, God knows everything that you're thinking, everything you're feeling, and he knows what it really is. And even though you're praying out loud to impress the people around you with how good you are, God knows better. And God just says, "Why don't you be honest with me?" And God will come, and he will deal with you, and he will change you. And maybe if you are honest, you'll change the lives of people around you as well. In public, you might need to wear a veil because we all go through pain that we don't want to share with others. But in private, in the presence of God, you can remove the veil. You can be completely honest with God about all that. Everything you feel, everything you think, everything you fear, everything you want, the more transparent you are with him, the more powerfully he can work in your life and he can change you. But it starts with being honest. It starts with putting down the veil, and just setting it aside and getting honest with God. Because when he hears honesty coming from your heart, then he can say, "Okay, now you're ready to deal. Now you're ready to change. Now I can come and I can move in your heart and draw you closer to me and make you more like me." But he won't do that when you've got the veil on, when you're just trying to look good. So how can we connect with God? I'm hoping to talk about a few ways we can over the next few weeks. But the first way is to be honest with God. Take off the veil. Acknowledge that he's with you every step of every day. Try to begin practicing his presence. Not just being aware that he's there. Everybody's there. I mean, there's no place you can go from him. But just living every day as if he is walking beside you and hearing every word you say and every thought you think, because that's true. It's scary, but it's true. But when you begin living, acknowledging that, and not ignoring God's presence, but acknowledging him, your life can change. And you can begin experiencing what it means to be connected and intimate with God. And this is a path I'm really going to be pursuing over the next few weeks. And I trust many of you will begin to walk that path with me. It's an exciting one. It's a scary one. Okay? It's a scary one. But it's time to get honest with God. It's time to get honest. Time to take off the veil and speak to him directly. Are you ready? It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be a path we'll walk together, I trust. But God will be faithful. And he has promised he'll always go before us and prepare the way. Are you ready? Father, I know how to look like a Christian. I'm really good at it. I've been doing it for more years than I want to admit. But more than that, Father, I want to genuinely connect with you and live every moment of my day acknowledging that you're there, acknowledging your presence with me, being candid with you, and living every moment conscious, aware of your presence, and seeking your heart in the midst of it all. Father, I look forward to the adventure. Would you change us in this process and make us more like you? Father, we commit, at least I commit myself to that. And for those who are willing to seek to remove the veil, I pray that you would come alongside them now and let them know that you will go with them every step of this adventure. And you will draw closer to them and become more intimate with them every step that they walk. To that end, Father, we commit these days. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.